This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Assisting wildfire victims, cooking ribeyes, and handing out scholarships might sound like quite the combination, but those are all things the Central Illinois Livestock Association has been involved with lately. The group met Monday evening, and I had a chance to visit with the association president, Larry Miller. Larry said they donated money to help raise orphan calves in Kansas, and we also talked about membership and upcoming events.
The wildfire was in Kansas on March the 6th. It burned over 2 million acres. It was in four states. We donated $500 to a 4-H club member leader out there in Kansas, and she organized several 4-H clubs to feed the baby calves that were orphaned and lost their mothers in the fire. I think they've raised a couple hundred calves. We sent money out there along with a lot of other people around the nation. Sent money, food supplies, feed, hay, fencing materials, just a lot of donations from all over the country went out there, and it was very much appreciated. Those cattlemen out there lost a lot of cattle. They lost buildings, they lost houses, they lost fences. It's going to take a long time to get it all put back together.
But it was well received, as you said, some of the uses, some of the ways that it was used, and you received a letter back from the people that the group sent the money to, so that's pretty rewarding.
Yes, it was, yes. My contact person was Rochelle Schlachtemeyer out there and her daughter. They organized the 4-H clubs to bottle feed these baby calves that have been orphaned, and very much appreciated. Those calves, when they get weaned, they're being vaccinated. They've kept the identity of the calves. Those calves will be going back to their previous owners. They wanted to get those genetics back on the ranch to where they came from so that those ranchers could rebuild their cow herds.
Awesome. Well, I think it's great that we were able to have a local group, local producers, help out those in need. So that's awesome to hear. As far as the members in your group and your meetings, I think you usually hold monthly meetings depending on the times of the year. How is membership? And just tell us a little bit about the association.
The membership is holding steady. You know, the organization, I think, has been going for probably about 42 years. You know, we meet about six or seven times a year. We don't meet as much in the summertime, but we do the Old Settlers. We do a ribeye stand at Old Settlers in Hillsboro, and that's coming up. And we've ordered 2,300 ribeyes and some hamburgers, so we'll be there. We'll be providing the good tasting ribeyes to the public that day. Yeah, the organization's fine. You know, we're an affiliate of the Illinois Beef Association. That's the state association, and what we're trying to do here is promote the beef industry.
Well, you mentioned the ribeyes at Old Settlers, and those are always really tasty and always love to grab a bite to eat. And you did just receive some grant money from the Illinois Beef Association. You're going to be doing some more with promoting beef products.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, the state association they're giving about 20 of the affiliates throughout the state some money to promote the beef industry, and so we're going to try to make some appearances in the Montgomery and Christian County areas and try to promote the beef products in the form of giving away some free samples and trying to encourage the public to taste the beef, put it on their menu.
As far as membership goes, I see a lot of familiar faces here tonight, and multiple counties, I think, are involved. So, you know, how many counties do you have people attending from?
We have attendees come from Christian County, occasionally Shelby County, Bond County, Montgomery County, and Macoupin County mainly. We've had good support over the years. We've had, you know, new producers come into the area. We're always trying to encourage new producers to come out to the meetings. We've got some faithful members that have been members since day one, you know, that have been here for 40 years. And it's more of relationships and friendship and camaraderie, you know, and we mix that in with promoting beef a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. And also some volunteering opportunities as you're going to be cooking those ribeye sandwiches at Old Settlers, and I think some other opportunities at the state fair also, if anyone would want to get involved.
Yes, that's true. We go up on the first Friday of the state fair. That'd be Friday, the August 11th, and our association normally, we work in the Ribeye Corral. It's in the Commodities Building, I think, up there at the fair. And we serve beef products up there. And then, like I mentioned before, Old Settlers here in Hillsboro will be there 10 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. If anybody would like to come by and help us out, we would appreciate it. You know, it takes about 60 or 70 people over those 3 days to set it up and to cook that product and provide it to the public.
Awesome. Well, we hope you have a good turnout of volunteers, because I know a lot of us enjoy those sandwiches. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is, tonight at the meeting, mentioned that you've got some scholarship recipients picked out. You said it's been a great year for applicants of those scholarships.
Yeah, this year was probably the largest pool of applicants. We've had 8 applicants, and we gave away 6 scholarships. In the past, we've been giving away 4. The last 2 years, we increased it by 2 because we've had good support from the public and good support at our scholarship auction that we have at the annual dinner dance. So we had a little bit more money, so we're trying to spread it around. We're encouraging, you know, young producers to go to college, get an education, and we want to help them in that endeavor.
Well, sounds great, Larry. It sounds like the association has got a lot of fun things coming up and some great members and involvement with the group. Maybe a phone number or any information you'd like to throw out there if we've got someone listening who's interested in volunteering or coming to meetings.
Sure, yeah. Anybody can call me if you're interested in volunteering or becoming a member. We'd love to have you. My number is 217-710-1676, and my home phone is 217-532-2585.
Larry Miller, president of the Central Illinois Livestock Association. In other news, China's Ministry of Agriculture has approved 2 more genetically modified crops for import into the country. A Reuters article says it's the second move in the past month to expand access to biotech seeds as part of Beijing's 100-day trade talks with Washington. The ministry approved Syngenta's 5307 insecticide-resistant corn, sold under the AgriSure Duracade brand. It also approved Monsanto's 87427 glyphosate-resistant corn, sold under the Roundup Ready brand. The approvals are good for a period of 3 years starting from July 16th. The move brings the total number of approved genetically modified crops to 4. 4 other products are still on a waiting list for Beijing approval, including products from Monsanto, DuPont, and Dow. A DuPont spokeswoman said the company was disappointed its Pioneer insect-resistant corn was not included. The other 3 on the waiting list were Dow's Enlist soybeans and 2 alfalfa products from Monsanto. The moves come as China promised to speed up the review process for GMO crops. While GMO crops can't be planted for food in the country, corn and soybeans can be imported and used in animal feed products. A Chinese delegation signed contracts this week to purchase a large amount of U.S. soybeans. The contract is for the purchase of 460 million bushels of U.S. soy worth more than $5 billion. It's a large increase from the $1 billion contract signed a year ago at this time. The delegation of Chinese buyers represents 11 different companies. China has a growing middle class that's eating more meat and consuming more protein, plus it has the largest swine herd in the world. That makes China the number one customer for American soy. The Chinese demand for soy is large, as it purchases more than 60% of all soybeans exported around the world. The U.S. Soybean Export Council's China director says this ceremony represents the value of the 2017 soybean crop even before it's harvested. They also called it evidence of the enhanced trade agreements between the two countries. Export Council Chair and Nebraska farmer Jim Miller says U.S. soybean farmers should be confident in the long-term demand for their product. U.S. soybean farmers have done an exceptional job of meeting the global demands of their customers. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.